Proverbs 6.
Oh boy.
Right after.
Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, the rabbis say that that's talking about seven things. The six he really hates, but the seven is like big, like quadruple hate, abomination, okay? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, which means it's better translated as haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked thoughts or imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to evil, is what it says, or mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. The six are bad. The rabbis say all of them cause leprosy. But the seventh is an abomination. He that soweth discord among the brethren. There'll be 10,000 reasons why it'll appear to your sensory perception that you are justified in discord. But every one of them is a lie. Because all discord is slander, and you do it so righteously. From now on, discord among the brethren, if you are the sower, you're gone in your history. It's better, from a body standpoint, that if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right hand offend thee, cut it off. And when we get, we'll see some mind-blowing things about that in a minute. There are so many righteous ways that you can sow discord. Sincerity, you're so sincere, you're just concerned. But it's the evidence that you don't believe. It's the evidence that you're not laying down your life. And all my job is with the stealth group from now on is to cause your senses to be exercised so that you can discern soul from spirit. And now for you, any soul effort that's seen is leprosy. Am I communicating? Any effort that has to do with the way you'll know it's evil is because it will do this. It would be the same way that you would respond to that particular stimuli if you were a Gentile. Mm-hmm. You are they that justify yourselves among men, the same way the Gentiles do. But God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Leprosy. The abomination is discord among the brethren. Now, I want you to dwell on this in your minds a minute. And see how often. Better yet, it's like Jeremiah said, see, tell me which tree you haven't lain under. Tell me which time you haven't been a sower of discord. Now, I'm not going to do it tonight, but we can go through this at some later date and show how each one of those seven things produced leprosy in the scriptures. But the seventh is the worst of all. Do you all understand what it means to sow discord? To sow discord has as its root to be a respecter of persons. If I say to you, Denise, you're really pissing me off, then I have sown discord among the brethren. I don't care how sincere I am, how honest I am, and I'm just prophesying, brethren. But when you cross this line, prophesying can't take place without you seeing the effect of the prophesy. I.e., if I say to Denise, Denise, you really pissed me off, Denise then is outside the camp. She's dead forever. Am I communicating? We've gone through all this great bullshit while we are in the wilderness. All you have to do is be honest. Just say what's there. Because in the world, all you did was hide, protect your ass. In the wilderness, you say what's there. And the promise you love. You either love or you're gone. You got it?
When, if you were to say that, was it because of being in here doing
doesn't
it privately
matter.
Or privately? Or
doesn't matter.
I mean, if you go to her privately.
Doesn't matter.
What if she pisses you off?
Doesn't matter. Then she's gone.
Just because she pisses you off?
All right.
Who's here?
No one right now. That's why we're starting this trek. That's why we haven't spoken of this, but now we've crossed the river.
New.
It's the same as it's ever been. We have one goal. Our face is set like flint to go on up to Jerusalem. I can't tell you, I couldn't tell you in the wilderness that Denise, you're pissing me off, was leprosy, and if you're leprous, you're outside the camp. One of us is outside. But from my perspective, if it's you that anger me, then you are outside the camp. The body will judge which one of us is out. You got it?
Not really. You mean literally this is going to take place now?
Literally. Your history. If there is anything among the stealth group that causes discord or anger, somebody's history. Because it's all a lie, and you either believe the lie of your senses or the fact of faith that we are one body. And no man yet hated his own flesh. This isn't simple stuff, folks. The purpose of preaching is to explode your brain cells. Now in Acts, the people of Berea were commended. The only time anybody was commended. Because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. What things? The things that Paul told them in preaching the scripture.
So the process is that if I'm mad at Gary, I'm out.
One of you's out.
Well, which one is it? The one that got
mad? Body judges.
Okay. So you bring it to the body.
And one of you is history.
So you don't bring very many things.
You try acting.
I only get one crack at it.
You try acting.
I mean, isn't it saying that you don't want that person to be history?
Saying that that person can't be history because you are one flesh. You no longer have the right. And you can leave, but you no longer have the right to be in any other position other than perfect unity and perfect joy. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You are either now joined to the Lord or you're believing the motherfucker. I guarantee you that this will so override, overload, confuse your brain cells that you will be more the fear of God will cause you to be able to see through the faults of everyone. Do you understand me? Now, I'm going to put another addendum on this. You can't be mad at anyone. Because you can no longer see any other person other than your neighbor. Because you can't be mad at them unless they are near to you, therefore a neighbor. You cannot be mad at anyone because you must love them as you love yourself. There can be no position in your life for which you haven't forgiven everyone, because now you can understand the Lord's Prayer about forgiveness. If you haven't forgiven everyone, your Father in heaven cannot forgive you. Now guess what? That everyone means yourself. Now, finally, preaching is going to become so real to you that some of you will wish you'd never heard. Because now I'm messing where you live.
Left preaching and gone to Midland.
You better argue with me now if you don't believe this.
I would argue, but yeah, I wish I'd never heard it.
Come on, argue then.
Well, what happens if it happens? I mean,
you're gone.
But I mean, there's some little process.
looking.
We've already gone through the process, I guess, is the wilderness.
We haven't seen the process. What does gone mean? I mean, come on, you're going to get mad. Let's be real. Somebody's going to get mad.
Remember where Larry was a few weeks ago?
Okay. Gone. Right.
You're gone.
Can you get back?
It's not up to me.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
You can't see that far.
I can't see that far.
So little stuff.
Little, teeny. Little teeny.
The
size of a lentil.
But what if it's gone as soon as you say it, though?
Mm-hmm. Then it's gone.
If it's gone as soon as you say it, is that still not?
Well, the other person may be gone, too, though.
I want you to see what you're, the risk that you're doing. Please hear me, folks. God isn't interested in your religion. God is interested in your life. And that life must reflect the fruit of the Spirit. If it doesn't reflect the fruit, it is no life. The fruit is inexorable. We were prevented from inspecting the fruit while a seed was planted. Obviously, because there isn't even anything there. You're prevented from inspecting the fruit while it's a sapling. You're prevented from inspecting the fruit even the first year that fruit is born. But 3.5 years after fruit is born, the fruit has to be inspected. If the fruit isn't perfect, the tree is destroyed. That's the law. I write unto you that know the law. I'm not talking to Jim or to Alan, except time isn't enough. I mean, they can go the 3.5 years that quick. Believe it or not, I am talking to Buck, and I don't know why I said that. Buck knows.
Buck lived 3.5 years in the last bed.
You don't get any kind of dispensation.
No.
Yeah, you did.
So once you come to stealth 3 times, you didn't know about this.
3.5 times.
3.5 stealth.
Yeah. You all understand me. What does the congregation say when the congregation understands?
What does the congregation say? Amen.
Yeah, I had only one deal.
You wanted the last cigarette.
So now, what does the congregation say?
Amen.
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 Is that what the question was?
Amen.
Amen. The further we go, though, the more I can see why Israel told Moses to stop talking.
Does the whole congregation have to say
it?
Not everybody.
Who
didn't? Buck's moving into the hallway.
It's impossible. Who says it's impossible?
I don't know.
Body language, but. Darlene didn't say it either. It's impossible not to get ticked off.
Sorry. Why do you get mad? The only reason you get mad is because someone has stepped on a right that you think you have.
But until it comes up, you don't realize you think you have that right.
Okay.
So
what is life then? Up to this point, life has been a series of competing stimuli. Now you've got a greater stimulus. Mm-hmm. Big, big time stimulus.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that your initial reaction may not be pissed off, it's immediately you see what's going to happen if you give it any more breath at all. If you pay any attention to it. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying fruit, not works.
Because once you see it.
When you see, if I'm mad, if I get mad at you, the only way that I can get mad at you is to see you outside the camp.
This is the new thing.
It's not new, it's as old as the world.
New scripture.
It's as old as the world.
Yeah.
My response then is either instantaneous to see, my God, what have I done? I've murdered. But it must be, it's instantaneous. Now, let's assume that you're dwelling here in the spirit. What you see, your eyes see world, child, adolescent, young man, father. I don't get mad I don't get mad at Angela for getting mad. In other words, in the natural. unless I am mentally unbalanced. I mean, you understand? All we're doing is redefining normal.
Okay. You don't get mad at a kid for acting like a kid.
Right. And I don't get mad at the people in the world for acting like people in the world. I don't get mad at the child for dwelling and hiding under the blood and still in the world. I don't get mad at people in the wilderness for doing wilderness stuff.
Is there a distinction here when you say you can't be mad? Are you saying you're not saying you can't be mad, or else is it like you can't be mad? It's impossible.
Right.
You are making that distinction.
I'm saying you can't be mad at all.
It's a lie. You are.
Can we get off this subject now?
Yeah. Please.
You can't forget this subject. Because your own words will be a witness against it. Your own amen. Christ said that, and he's speaking to this point, he said, my prayer is that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. In other words, the joy would totally fill the temple. Now, you know, at your own leisure, read John 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer, with this understanding. Okay? Okay, let's go on. Let's go on. The Midrash says an interesting thing about leprosy. The Lord of Mercy, according to the Midrash, does not inflict suffering on humans first. If you study the plagues, you'll see that the plagues went, you know, on all the cattle and stuff, and then the death of the firstborn. If you look at and study the book of Job, you'll see that he lost all his material possessions and his family and stuff. Then he was covered in boils, probably leprosy. It is so also with leprosy. First, the leprosy comes upon his house. If he repents, it only requires pulling down the affected stones. If not, the house is destroyed. Then it comes upon one's garments. If he repents, they only require washing. If he does not repent, they are burned. Then it comes upon his body. If he repents, purification is clean and readily available. If not, he shall dwell alone for the rest of his life. Leviticus 13:46. You understand? That's the process.
That's a leg out, kid.
Now, go to Leviticus 14. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 14, verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when you be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seems to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then shall the priest command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague. And all that is in the house, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which inside are lower than the wall, I mean deeper, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day, and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. And he shall take the other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and it break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after that he hath scraped the house, and after that it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, the timber thereof, all the mortar of the house. And he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Now, the Midrash has a fascinating commentary on what we just read. Well, I'm going to do something else. Remember what you just... No, I won't either. The Midrash says that in verse 34, in a house, alludes to the temple. And it's, for those of you who are taking notes, it's Ezekiel 24:21. Who owneth the house alludes to the Holy One of Israel. It's Haggai 1:9. The priest refers to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:1. The plague of leprosy refers to the filth of idolatry, including the image set up by Manasseh in 2 Kings 21, verse 7, and including the men of Israel carrying their own censers in Ezekiel 8, verse 5. To empty the house refers to the different kings who took out the treasure of the house. To break down the house refers to Nebuchadnezzar and to Titus that destroyed the temple. Pour out the dust refers to the people carried away to Babylon.
Golly.
And to take other stones, in verse 42, refers to Messiah.
Wow.
Now go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28.
Was he talking about this when he said, I'll tear down this temple?
That's right, exactly. Isaiah 28.
And I knew it. It's
verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. Now the wine here is the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-seeking. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables, a table is the place that you eat. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now that's all that's been happening to you lately, is you're being weaned in the spirit so that you can hear strong meat. For the most part, no matter what you think, up till now, you have simply been fed on milk. No matter how much, how strong you think it's been, how strong it's been compared to what you hear in the world. It's been milk. It says nothing. For precept must be upon precept. That's what you've done thus far. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, and it's still been unto you, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. That you might go and fall backward and be snared and taken. The only function of the law is to shut up your mouth. The only function of the law is for you to see the tremendous phenomena of what you've been forgiven of. The $10 billion so that you now can forgive anyone else for a penny. To see that you're totally leprous. So now finally, instead of trying to learn it, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, proof text, apologetics. You come to a point where you've gone forward and you've fallen backward, and now you're snared and you're taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now that's the reference the Midrash says is the tearing down of the house and now the new stone. You got it? Now let's go to 1 Peter. Verse 13. Just got through telling about even the angels desire to look into the things that you take for granted. That all the mystery has been hid from all the prophets, from all the wise men of all the ages. And it says, because of that, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope. The word sober there simply means be normal, according to the definition of normalcy of the power that's resident within you. You understand me? Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ is not tomorrow, it's today. It's not someday am I going to be able to love my neighbor as myself. It's today he will. This becomes the final test of the process. Because if he isn't resurrected in you, then you're without hope. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not or no longer fashioning yourselves, shaping your way of living, shaping your response to stimuli according to the former desires or lusts in your ignorance. Every response to stimulus that produces any other fruit other than love and joy is ignorant. It's inexcusable. Spiritual ignorance from now on is without excuse. Amen? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living or conversation. Because as it is written, be ye holy, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. That's mind-blowing. Let's tear that one out. And if you call on the Father, all this will do is cause you to call on the Father constantly. You don't show from God's standpoint, you don't show presumption by prayer. From God's standpoint, you show stupidity by not praying constantly. I'm not talking about some sitting down formal little, I'm talking about as natural as breathing. Just as you breathe in the Spirit, if you could see what you're doing, every time you breathe in, you're breathing in the Holy Spirit. Every time you breathe out, you're breathing out the spirit of this age, the spirit of the power of the air. Sense it, know it, dwell on it, be aware. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your vain manner of life and that was received by tradition from your fathers. You guys think you got something. that you've got some manner of life that's your own. You don't. There's nothing about you that wasn't learned from your fathers. Now, whether that father is your physical father or the father of this culture, it doesn't matter. Everything about you, every response to stimulus was received as a vain tradition from your fathers. None of it is worth a shit. You were not redeemed by silver and gold from that, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained as before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Manifest means what? Revealed. In you. Revelation. Resurrection. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You got it? That's the end. Unfeigned love of the brethren and loving your neighbor as yourself. That is your only vocation. Seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, the only way that can be done is for you to see that you're not separate. Being born again. Now, the word born again, as you've all heard me say, is not what the modern religion teaches it. It means that to be born again means to be extant or existent from the first estate.
That's when you realize that that's where you are, what you are. That you were there in the beginning and you're here now.
Right.
When you snap to it,
right,
you're born again.
Right.
What's the first estate?
The beginning of time.
Like it says earlier, foreordained. Before the foundation of the world.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the God that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all responses, all stimuluses, all sensory perception of that flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man, no matter what, the highest order, is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, laying it aside, cut it off, divorce it, laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envying, and evil speakings, as newborn babes. Now again, you're newborn again when you cross that river, the Jordan. That's what we're doing. You're being baptized in the Jordan, in the Spirit, all that we're doing here. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you haven't tasted by now that the Lord is gracious, you can't cross that river. You'll love the darkness. You love that place of no testing. Do you understand? I've said it 1,000 times. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It can never be against someone. You can't be mad at someone. It's impossible. What?
I was just thinking you've always said this. It's
new. There's nothing new. and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not this sensory perception. They can't be will worship. But mighty, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, that's where the sanctification is. Being mad at your brother is just plain ignorant. Not because it's you should or shouldn't, but because you've missed the mystery. And you, none of you, have an excuse to have missed the mystery. Now, being mad at anyone.
It is finished.
Yeah, but to be mad at anyone means that you are denying the mystery. To be frustrated at anyone means you're denying the mystery. Because the weapon, the place, that feeling of frustration is simply an internalized phenomena in your vessel that is there for the purpose of testing the holiness that's already resident within you. It never has anything to do with anyone else. Never. Oh, but you can get so righteous, though.
Something just leaked into my head. What about zeal? What about what appeared to be anger that Christ demonstrated when he threw stuff out of the temple?
Well, you've seen it in me. You don't have to go to Christ. Go right here where you've seen it. You think I was mad at you?
Is that a different kind of anger?
It's like you said, it's the wickedness in high places that's been seen. It's...
You want to see warfare?
No.
What do you mean by that?
That's
esoteric. Give it to Harry.
No. Who?
He said it.
I said it.
Does that mean you were mad?
What?
That means one of us is out.
Well, you got dispensations.
He's out.
If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, gracious means, very simply, full of grace. It's not a religious concept. Gracious means that there can't be a position in your life in which he hasn't worked it to the highest good. There can't be a stimulus confronting you which will not and has not already resulted in your highest good. Therefore, count it the highest joy when you fall into the diverse temptation. Think it not strange concerning the suffering.
That's what be angry and sin not means.
Amen.
It's very thing to talk about because it's being angry but don't think it's anything but what it is.
Amen. Now watch. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Gracious is that crazy word. It's the same concept as the hasid or mercy. And it means this, that all of this is because of the covenant. Without the covenant, none of this could have any meaning. But grace and mercy are resident. Because of the covenant, he is obligated to treat you as his own flesh, not something external to him. It can't be external to him. You, by definition, are one with God. And he has never hated his own flesh. Therefore, the only place that there can be an antagonism or a lie is from the evil one, the Antichrist, who is the father of lies. And that head, if you will, is the point of reception of the sensory perception.
Okay.
And that's why we have a new head. The head is Christ. Okay, watch
that's,
now.
Hold it. That's what's the difference between mad or anger and any other earthly emotion?
None. But we're starting, we just happen to be talking about mad. Unforgiveness, anything except joy. All right. Well, the fruits isn't plural. Fruit of the Spirit is the personality of this manifestation. That can't be fake. It can't be investigated for 3.5 years from the time the tree is there. That's why Christ was with the disciples for 3.5 years. That's why they didn't bear any fruit. Yeah, it's a whole other story. Okay, now, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming or being revealed as unto a living stone. Remember we just read about the stone? We read about leprosy of the house. We've cast out the stone, all of it. Now, he has become the chief cornerstone. To whom coming as unto a living stone of the temple, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as alive stones are built up a spiritual house, a new house because the old one had leprosy, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God because of Jesus Christ is what it should say. Wherefore it is ordained or contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In any dimension, from the spiritual standpoint, to be confounded is to be in any other position other than joy. Yeah. You got any dead you want raised? I promise you something. With everything in me, I promise you that we as a body will duplicate and greater feats of everything that's in the book of Acts. Now we can begin. I've waited years and years and years for this. First, that you would know that the only thing, your only function, your only vocation is to love your neighbor as yourself. Second, internalize, no matter what the stimulus, you can be in no other position other than unfeigned love of each other. Now watch out, world. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises. Now, again, you got to hear this. You should only show forth. You're capable of only doing this, is what it says. You can only show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And he's taken you, one of a city, and two of a family, and brought you to Zion. You're permanent, exclusive, total, unending place of residence is the mercy seat on the in the New Jerusalem. It is spiritually impossible, it is physically impossible for you to ever leave that position under the wings of the shadow of the Almighty, under the wings of the cherubim, sitting on the mercy seat. The law has been divorced from you by the gold or the glory of God between you and it. Everything in that Ark of the Covenant that everybody wants to find is death. The budding rod was shown forth because of rebellion. The law shows only death. The pot of manna was there because of complaining, murmuring. Everybody wants to find that. You open those seven seals and time ends. Except we, our job is to show it, to reveal the wicked one. And you reveal the wicked one by opening the seven seals. That's what we are about. Now, let me show you something. How can leprosy be good news? Let me tell you how. This is from the Midrash. The reason it's good news is because of it. Again, you can't know this unless, I mean, I would never have figured this out except in Hebrew, where it says, and I shall give or put the plague of leprosy. The word that's translated there is used to pronounce good news. In other words, it's what's said when there's a prize to be given.
Be put.
I shall put.
Where is that? What's the verse that takes
on? Leviticus 14:34. How can it be that leprosy could be considered a prize? Glad you asked. When the Canaanites heard that Israel was approaching, they hid their valuables, I can't even say it, in the walls and the floors of their houses, all of their jewels, all of their valuables. The promise of God was to give them, in Deuteronomy 6:11, quote, and houses full of all good things, or temples full of all good things. What did the Holy One do? He brought leprosy on the houses. So when they were torn down, Israel would find the treasure.
No.
That's great.
No.
That's great.
And that's what's happened to you.
That's great.
All I've done to you is tear you down. So you would find the treasure.
Shit.
That's why it comes
you're living in a tenement and it's full of jewels.
That's fantastic.
Now, all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to his purpose. Now, good there means the highest possible good. Amen?
Amen. Amen, brother. Crack it up. You've been saying for years it's like we're on a treasure hunt. We got a treasure map and we find it. But nobody ever said that the treasure hunt meant tearing down.
So you go forward. You take it. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, priest upon line. Here a little, there. Well, I'm going to get this. I got this right. No, I got to get. Now I got to remember this thing. Now I got this.
And then, oops.
So you go forward and fall backward and are broken and snared and taken. Now, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Anybody have anything else? Good, take a big guy.